Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. That was so good. Oh, I'm excited. There's so much power in this room tonight, and I mean that's coming from you guys. It's not from up here. I feel like it's coming off of everybody here. I don't know what you all have been doing this week, praying and reading your Bibles and whatever you've been doing, but you know, you got the Lord on you. And that always helps the gathering, because you know it's really who gathers together. It says if two or more gather together in his name, he's what? In the midst of us. But if you spend time with the Holy Spirit and you've got that intimacy, you know, you're spending time in his glory unknowingly. I don't know about you, but I have to spend time with the Holy Spirit every day. I enjoy the conversation. You know, and even though I'm not informing him of what's coming out of my mouth, it's still, I just enjoy it. I just like being in his presence. And and I would encourage you that...
Breaking the sound barrier.
Oh, okay. Do I need to switch? That might be. Is this one better? I'm okay. Test 1, 2. Can everybody hear me okay?
Yes.
What was I talking about, Paul?
Nothing.
You see. Paul got me before I got him. Amen. We like to pick on each other. I hear it again. Is that better here? Or is it better back here? Is it gone now? That was it. Was that it? How did you know? Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. That's okay. It's all right. All right, let me read here and we'll... The Lord God has given me the tongue of disciples that I may know how to sustain a weary one with the word. He wakens me morning by morning. He wakens my ear to listen as a disciple. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not disobedient, nor did I turn back. Father, we just thank you for your grace. We thank you, Lord, that we have entered into a new dimension of your spirit. Lord, so many of your children are unaware of the shift that's been going on in the spirit. And Lord, I just ask you to open up our eyes and our ears to be able to know what it is you're doing in the earth. Father, I thank you for recruiting many people. It says in your word, Lord God, to pray that there be more laborers in the harvest, Lord God. And so we pray that tonight, Lord God, that you would thrust out more laborers in the harvest, Lord. Father, so many people are completely unaware of your movements of your hand and what you're doing in the earth today. Lord, let us be anointed tonight, Lord God, as Noah was, Lord God, and not just warn, Lord God, but begin to construct and build an ark of safety, Lord God, for our own families, Lord, and all those that are around us. Lord, I thank you for an evangelistic anointing to be imparted into these that have gathered here tonight, and we just give you all the glory and everything that is done here tonight, and we just bless you with our love in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I had a couple things just kind of sitting there. This kind of dropped in my spirit. One of them is I sensed in my spirit that there are some people here tonight. You've come tonight and you've really just been standing. You've really been waiting for the Lord to speak to you, to hear from him. And I'm not talking about, you know, just what to do and do. I'm talking about you put some things before the Lord. And you just kind of wait. So Lord, you know, when are you going to answer me in this prayer? And the thing is, you know he's going to answer you because you've already got that expectation birthed within you that you've asked for something that you know he's going to respond and answer you in. It's not one of those things where you throw up a prayer and, oh, I hope he answers that. This is one that you know he's going to answer you because you're in a specific circumstance in life or a specific situation. And you've asked him something and he's going to answer you. Now, I'm going to tell you, you're in an incubation stage. Your water's about to break. So I just want to encourage you that the Lord is answering. ministering, that you're going to have that breakthrough. I just wanted to give that to you tonight. I don't know who that is. Maybe it's more than one, but I just had to say that. So I've delivered that word, and it's out there. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you, go to Matthew 16. Matthew 16. And starting at verse 13. You know, before I get into this, I think I shared, I don't know how many weeks ago it was, that I felt like the Holy Spirit was telling me not to be concerned about anything. It's been probably a couple months, maybe 2 months ago, a month ago, I don't know. And so, you know, just know that when God, the Holy Spirit speaks to you, sometimes He wants to confirm that word. And so Penny, when she walked in that evening, I was over there talking with Lewis back there and said, you know, Lewis, Lord's telling me not to be concerned about anything. And then Penny comes walking in and says, hey, Lord told me to tell you, He doesn't want you to be concerned about anything. And so I got the message. But the reason why God wanted to give me that message, because He knew the events that were going to take place that I would normally have been ripping my hair out over. And I just want to share, I know I've shared a part of this before, but I've had an identity theft come to me. And such a dimension, it gets to the point where it's almost comical every week. And nothing's really happened except, you know, it got into the IRS and the Social Security, and my mail got forwarded to another place. And I mean, it was just credit cards, and they pulled $30,000 out of my retirement. I mean, it was like an onslaught of stuff. On top of that, then my wife's business gets attacked, and you know, I'm not getting paycheck and all that. I mean, it was so much stuff that if the Holy Spirit had said that to me, I would have thought that God's after me, you know. It was so funny, and everything's, you know, being reversed, and Lord's following through. But I guess the reason why I'm testifying this to you is I want you to understand something, that, you know, that word really garrisoned me for a period of time. And nothing really, you know, I didn't have any emotions going on. There were some there. But the thing that got to me the most was, you know, really everything, the identity theft, the business, all that stuff. But the thing that got me was when my wife decided to buy pizza at a place that I didn't think she should buy it at. And that's where I lost it. Because we were meeting people on the lake. And she wanted to buy it from Costco versus Little Caesars. And that would have taken us much longer. And so I didn't realize that all that other pressure was fine. But what I didn't realize is that one little area that I got upset over, you know what I mean? That I got concerned over where pizza was being bought. And see, that's just the way that God is. He does such a thorough work in us that the major stuff, when He warns us about that stuff, you really can hold up well. But it's those little things, you know, that you have to really watch out for. Now, you know, you may think, well, that's not really anything. But to me, it's a lot, because what it does is it started to really witness to me how detailed the Holy Spirit is in our lives. How He really doesn't want us attached to things in this world in a way that bothers us. You see, you know, if His yoke is easy and His burden is light, that's true, is it not? So if we have burden and the load isn't light, then we must be taking on something in this world that He doesn't want us to be concerned about. And I'm sharing that with you because I really feel that if it's happening to me, it's happening to the body of Christ simultaneously. If I'm a messenger to the body, if I'm an equipping ministry, then I must go through the fire, as they say, and in order to relate it to everybody else. So you might be going through something similar, and I would just submit to you, that's the refinement right now. The Holy Spirit does not want us, God does not want us to have anything where we have latched onto anything in this world. Because we doesn't want to have any of that. The world does not need to be in us. Remember what He said in the book of Revelation? He said, come out of her, that you may not be a partakers of her sin, nor receive of her plagues. And so there's things that are coming on the earth. And if we don't have anything invested in this world, then how can it hurt us? And so that's really the test right now, I think, is being put to us, is are we going to allow the world to choke out the word of the Lord in our lives? And that's what they talked about, the different soils. And you have seeds that are being planted in your life, and you've planted seeds in other people. And I shared this with Murray just recently, but you know, the seed does most of its work underground. And so a lot of people that you're ministering to, you may not see the results yet. Maybe you planted seeds in them, but those seeds, all that work is underground. There's something that's going on. And you can have faith. If God has told you faithfully plant into somebody's life, and he was directing you, that means his word was in you to plant. That means his word will not return unto him void. And though you don't know how it's going to grow, and though you don't know how it's going to get done, it's going to get done, because the word of the Lord cannot be denied. It cannot be stopped. It is forever eternal. And it will always produce what it's sent into. So you can have faith in that. Amen? Okay, I'm in Matthew chapter 16, starting at verse 13. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he was asking his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, but still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father is who is in heaven. I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it." Other versions say it won't hold out against it. "And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be what is bound in heaven, and whatever you shall loose on the earth shall have been loosed in heaven." And so this is an interesting scripture, but I want to point a couple things out here. I really want to dissect this and really get into the church and some specifics here. It says, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father is heaven. I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build it." Now you need to hear this. We don't build it. He builds it. And one of the things that is going to come very strong, is it's going to be very clear. The Lord is going to make it very clear. It is his church. It's his. We serve a jealous God. Do you know that God is jealous over you and me? If we go out and have an affair with the world, and he gets jealous over that. Have you ever been jealous? I mean, I have to go way, way back into my high school days, you know, and dating somebody, and you know, and somebody else trying to get my date. I remember going to the prom. I didn't get to go home with my date that night. Somebody else, you know, because that was one of my fears, I guess, you know. Such a girl from South Carolina, just moved from Charleston. Now I think about it. Isn't that interesting? So, yeah, I took her to prom, and she didn't go home with me. And man, and I had another girlfriend, and I was just really, you know, I got jealous easy, you know, because I loved her, and I, you know, that's mine. That's my girlfriend. You see what I'm saying? See, we, you know, think about that, you know, and jealousy can make you do crazy stuff, you know, in the world's jealousy. But, you know, God is jealous over us. He's jealous over his church. It's not anybody else's, it's his. And we need to understand that. You can go do your own little study on the jealousy of God. It'll blow your mind. You know, and you can start to understand the way he interacted with Israel when they were committing spiritual adultery. You know? And so he will not have any other gods before him. And the church needs to start to recognize that, because he's going to make it crystal clear, because he has something to do in this earth through us. Very, very important. And we can see that here. So he's saying to Peter, says, upon this rock. What rock is he talking about? He's talking about this revelation, okay? "Blessed are you, Son of John, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you." And so that is getting back into, see, that's what the testings are all about, because you and I are tested. And in the test, the same as I shared some weeks ago about when Israel was tested at the waters of Marah. Remember, Moses led them to that place, and they were thirsty, and there were those that complained and those that prayed. Moses prayed, and the people complained. Well, Moses got the revelation of what to do, to take that tree and that branch and to throw it in the waters, and the waters would become healed, and said that God tested them there. But in that testing, when that healing took place, the testing brought about a revelation of who Jesus is. So the testings that you and I are going through, that God tells you to do something, this as you pray, is you, what you get through the testing is a greater revelation of who Jesus is. You don't know everything. I don't know everything about the Lord. I only know what I've obtained, but I don't even realize that in these testings, that's why it says, count it all joy when you encounter various trials, knowing that it's producing something inside of you, which is what you need. It's your training, so you can, you know, he's changing me out of image. But on the other end of that, there's a revelation that God is revealing to you and to me of who he is. That's what you've got to grasp out of that. And so here Peter has a direct revelation from the Father of who Jesus is. And Jesus says, I'm going to build my church on the revelation of my people receiving who I am. And so that is what God is doing. He's giving a revelation to his body in the earth of who he is. He's not coming back as a suffering servant. He's coming back as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords with eyes of flaming fire. He's not coming to take sides. He's coming to take over. So this is what Peter is getting here. And so Peter is just, you know, I mean, he got that directly from the Father, and God called him blessed because of that. So you must understand that that is how God is building you and me up. He's building us up through revelation of who he is. It's not a cognitive knowledge. There are a lot of people, I just saw a Facebook thing of a woman I've been praying for, a friend of my son, as a friend, and it's his mom, and you know, they don't really know a lot about me or anything, but I pick up things sometimes on people. And so I started to pray because I saw this in this person's life, and all of a sudden I started, got this Facebook long thing of how she had been a Christian involved and all this other stuff, and finally she's got a revelation of who he is. She has a relationship now. She didn't have just knowledge in their head. So you can have knowledge and read the Bible and all kinds of things and have cognitive knowledge, but it's the relationship. That's why it's so important that you stoke that relationship with the Holy Spirit every day of your life. Talk to him. He's a wonderful counselor. When you need to get straightened out, I mean, I love talking to him, and he straightens me out. Or sometimes he just wants to hear what I have to say. It's different every time. I can't. But it's always him. He's always the advocate. He's always the standby. He's always building me up. He's always encouraging me. He loves me. I love to be loved. I love to be loved. You love to be? I need loving. Love on me. To be loved by God, and just is amazing to know him and to be loved by him. And to recognize that and to communicate that to him. See, that's that relationship. You know, I don't get close, you know, to care of my wife. All I do is I come and I complain about it, something. Or if I just all I just complain about it, it doesn't draw me closer. She might listen to me, but it really doesn't get us any closer. You know, but if I bring the chocolate, or I do the little things, you know, and I go to the store or whatever, you know, and I'm thinking about her when I'm going in. So, you know, she likes that 85% chocolate that I can't even stand, but she likes it. I'm going to get it for her. And just to get every time I get it, you know. Now, it doesn't necessarily make us super close, but it doesn't hurt to be thinking about it. And that's the way to the Lord. Now, I'm not trying to say to bring chocolate to the Lord, but you know what I'm saying? You know, sometimes you got to bring your love. You know, what is he like? I mean, he has everything, but what does he really like? What is he really after? He's after relationship. You see, what we need to understand is that we're family. This whole thing's about family. Go right back down to the garden. Those walks that he had with Adam. Enoch must have talked to Adam about it. Because, you know, Adam was alive for like 350 years when Enoch was walking, and he must have asked him, so what was it like? What was it like walking with God? And I'm wondering, you almost wondered, did Enoch have that same walks? Did he, you know, did he have that? Is that why he just walked off with God one day? There's no scripture to point that out. I'm just throwing it out, speculation. But you know, you wonder, you know. But it's about family. And so we're all connected, which is a wonderful thing, because, you know, a lot of you, you know, and I, you know, people that I've loved that have gone on, some of you remember John Bolus, and some of it was actually been very involved in maybe developing this, but he passed on, and just see so many people love the man, and, you know, and I miss him, but I can hear his voice like he walked through the door, you know. I get to see him again. This wonderful thing about God is that it's so beautiful that he designed this the way that he did. And so this revelation of who he is what is the center core of your testings right now. It is what he is after. He wants not just part of you. He wants all of you. He wants all of your attention. And it's not hard to really give it to him. But it's hard if I get invested in this world in any way, shape, or form. There's so many disappointments that I could point to. There's so many things that I could actually allow myself to get engaged in that would bring me down. But when I have that relationship with the Holy Spirit, and I stoke it every day, and I go in there and spend time with Him every day, and my prayer life has increased tenfold over this last year, not because I'm so holy, but because I want it. I love that time. You know, when you first started dating Kara, or, you know, wanted to be around, I mean, it's gone beyond that, because you can't even it's the way the Holy Spirit wants to become intimate with you is beyond that which you could ever have with anybody, because He knows you. You know, I said, made the statement to my wife, you can't know somebody in a lifetime, and she just laughed at me. She says, I already know you. I go, well, yeah, you know me, but you really, not the way the Holy Spirit knows me. To be with someone who knows you that intimately is unbelievable. To know that you're communicating with someone that knows the very thoughts and the intents of the heart, to understand that the Holy Spirit actually knows you better than you know yourself. And He knows your future. And Jesus said of the promise that He wants to show you things to come. And that's why He said, Todd, hey, don't want you to be concerned about anything. I see some stuff. It's going to give you a little heads up. So I just want to encourage you. So that relationship is so important. Amen. But that's not what I want to talk about tonight. Let's go to Luke chapter 10. Now we're going to, Luke chapter 10, starting at verse 17. I love this scripture. You probably heard me, I probably taught on this a couple times, but every time it just something more comes out of it. So we're going to break this down a little bit tonight. So Jesus did say in Matthew, He said, I will build my church. I will give you the keys. Upon the rock of revelation, that's how I'm going to build it. So we've already established that. Now, in verse 17 in Luke 10, this is the 70 that come back and says, and the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And He said to them, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. I was watching. And He said to them, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. I got to read that again. And He said to them, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. Behold, I have given you, I have given it. I gave it to you. It's me. I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power, not some, all of the power of the enemy, and what? And nothing will injure you. And nothing will injure you. Amen. Well, we're going to break this mission down a little bit and go back to the first verse in chapter 10. It says, now after this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them in pairs ahead of Him to every city and every place where He Himself was going to come. So the Lord Jesus had a strategy and He had a plan. He received it from the Father. It was detailed. It wasn't just, you know, go over here, and I mean, it was detailed. Obviously, he knew the cities he was going to. He appointed 70. You notice he doesn't say in the scripture that he's sending them to a specific group of people. He didn't say it's just sending them just to the Jews. He was sending them to the cities. And so, you know, here he is. He got the 12 apostles, and they have that intimate relationship. And here he goes and sends out 70 people. I'm assuming, you know, we're following. If we go back into chapter 9, verse 17, Jesus is talking a little bit about discipleship here. And then he springs off and appoints 70. Let's read that real quick in verse 57. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Isn't that a strange way to answer that question? "I'm going to follow you wherever you go." "Well, you know, the foxes have this, but you know, I have no place to my head." What's he talking about? He has no place to rest his headship. So, interesting way he answered that. In verse 59 says, "And he said to one another, 'Follow me.' But he said, 'Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father.' But he said to him, 'Allow the dead to bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God.'" Now, that's a pretty hard thing you'd think about. But see, you know, you're talking about a person who knows the truth about life. So, you know, when somebody goes, they're gone. I mean, they're not here anymore, and, you know, he knows where they're going, and, you know, our loved ones are gone, and, you know, and he says, you know, you got to be about the kingdom. You know, it was just really kind of a hard. I read that when I first read that, kind of like, wow, that's pretty hard. But you have to understand, he knows what truth is, and when you know truth, the truth makes you free. It makes you free. When you really know the truth about life, that's the whole thing. Because you have to. You know, I had to sit there and evaluate all this stuff that God has blessed me with in my life, and if something is not here, whatever, how am I going to deal with that? Well, the truth is, all my loved ones are in the kingdom of God. If your loved ones are in the kingdom of God, what in the world can happen to them? Nothing. No. They're going to go through the same thing you and I got to go through in this world. And, you know, that's comfort and security to me. That's security. The security is in the kingdom of God. It's not in this world. There's not everything in this world is temporal. It's subject to change. I'll prove it to you. It's subject to change. It's not eternal. I can do that. See? That was deep. Now, Another also said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first permit me to say goodbye to those at home." But Jesus said to him, "No one after putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." And so he lays it out right away about discipleship. Now you must understand that when Jesus says, "All authority, nothing shall hurt you," it's in concept, it's in the communication of the mission. You know, because people a lot of time, they aren't on the job and they aren't on the mission. In fact, they're out of place. They're out of position. And if he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God is right here, and I'm over here, I'm not dwelling in that secret place, so where am I at? I am in another territory. And that's why when you have things in the world that have you can get out of position. And you can get out of position in your mind. Many people are just out of position in their minds. So not so much, you know, their mind is just not, it's out of position. Now we're not perfect, and God knows we're not perfect, and God is working on us, and there's maturity on us, so it's not like he doesn't know that. He's the perfect one, right? I'm a coach, and I realize that I can't get an athlete from here to the Olympics in one day. It takes some time. And I have to teach them and train them how to be in position. So just, you know, keep that in balance. I'm not trying to get too hard here. But the point is that Jesus is really putting this right down. He said, "No one after putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." And so God has called you. He has called you. You have heard his call. You have a mission or something to accomplish on the planet. You're here for a reason beyond what you know or I know. And his calling is way above. We aren't thinking big enough. Way above what we could think, okay? But nevertheless, it's there.
And you and I have to find out what that is. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That revelation of who He is gives you identity. The revelation of who He is gives you identity. You don't have any identity any other way. The only identity you have is in Him. In Him you have your life, your being, and all the above. That's your identity. And so if you're confused at all on that one point, well, why am I here? What am I to do? Know that it's in Him, and so that must be sought. Your life is hidden in Christ Jesus. It's not hidden in the world. It's not hidden in that job. It's hidden only in Him. And so that is what gives you your identity, and that is what gives you your direction. So everything, you know, springboards out of that. There's no other way to get it. Now, I could prophesy over you and call you this and that, and I may confirm something inside of you, but if it's true what I'm saying over you, it came from Him. Didn't come from me. I'm just a delivery boy. You see? You're just a delivery boys and girls. You bring something to somebody, that's what that is. But it still originates in Him. And so that's not why that relationship is so important, because God wants to bring clarity and identity into the body of Christ in this season because of the great revival, which is already here. It's already been spoken and is beginning to manifest everywhere in this earth. People are having dreams and visions in the Muslim countries. I mean, you have to dig and find it, but it's going on. And you and I have a partake in that. So God is strategically planning us around people right now who need the word of the Lord, who need a touch from God or whatever it might be, even if it's just you interceding for them. Whatever it might be, you've got to be on the job. It's always in the mission that the protection and all this stuff that Jesus talks about comes into play. How in the world do you think He's going to, He can't bless something that He hasn't spoken over you? I mean, you know, it's just, that's just the way that it is. That's why He talked about the narrow way. And when we're on that narrow way, everything that He has spoken in our life, I start to realize that, you know, I had to come down here to South Carolina. I didn't realize that that was a narrow path. I didn't know. I was thankful that it happened, but I had to take a step, a revelation of who He was and what He wanted to do. And in that narrow, all these things started to happen on that line. But if I ever got out of that, I'd realize that some of this stuff that I really saw or God promised was all delayed, because I got out of position. And maybe you are out of position right now. That's okay. I've been out of position many times. That's why you get that shepherd's crook. He's a shepherd. He's the good shepherd. Not the bad shepherd, okay? He's a good shepherd. Okay, so he's going to whack me upside the head to get... Now, he might appoint a fish. It might be uncomfortable. It was uncomfortable for Jonah. Did Jonah even have a choice? I mean, can you imagine that guy? I mean, he's back there and God says, go up to Nineveh and da-da-da-da, and he has that relationship back then. And he goes, oh, yeah, I'm just going to go over here. I'm going to go on a cruise. I'm going to go as far from your presence like he can get away from God. And so God appointed a fish, put him where he should have been, repositioned him, and I tried to adjust his attitude. Now, Jonah still had a lot of work, because even after he did all that, he still had attitude issues. He still had some anger problems. Now, I don't think God gave up on him. You know? He got upset over a tree, I think, didn't he? Sounds like my pizza joke. Anyway. So God is sending out, Jesus said, now after this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them in pairs ahead of him to every city and place where he himself was going to come. So the Father is directing Jesus, tells him what to do, send these 70s out. He selects the ones through Jesus, selects them and so forth. And then he was saying to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And he was saying to them, make sure you get a great advertisement program to get people involved in your work and design things in a way so they go out and they do it. No, that's not in there, is it? I want to tell you something, saints. This is serious stuff. I know I'm joking. This is serious stuff. Beseech. That word beseech. You know what that word beseech means? I had to look it up. Urgently and fervently to do something, implore or entreat. So God, Jesus is saying here, if you want to have laborers in a work, if you're building a church or whatever it is that you know you should be building, a God building, or whatever God tells you to do, if you need some help, that's where you get it. You urgently and fervently get before the throne of God and seek Him to thrust people out into the harvest that you are already in. Do you think you might need some help in the harvest that God is sending you into? I say yes. I had this thing happen where a worship guy couldn't come tonight. I had to beseech the Lord urgently. Who can we have? Do you see what I'm saying? I mean, it's a little thing, but it's a big thing. There was an urgency. And we didn't have to have worship, but the Lord likes worship. And he probably, the best song tonight was probably Humble Thyself. That probably blessed him more than anything else here. It doesn't even have to be on key, man. It's got to do with the heart. You know? So anyway, so beseech. Go, behold, I send you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. So Jesus is giving some very specific things here to these 70. He's talking to them, I'm going to send you, go out as lambs, and I'm going to send you in the midst of wolves. Well, wolves, whether you know this or not, I looked it up. You know, he sent them in the midst of wolves. Wolves are highly social. They're highly social. Did you know that? They're intelligent predators. They live in packs. They're territorial. And when they kill, they gorge themselves on the meal. You see, he sent in the midst of wolves. He goes, I am going to send you to people who are really social, connected, intelligent, but they're predators. They're territorial. They like to keep things right in their arenas. You know, they have to control where they're at. I'm going to send you as a lamb. You're going to go in with purity. You're going to go in there with innocence. You're going to go in there with gentleness. You see the weapons of the warfare of the lamb, how Jesus was sending his, it was all strategic. They understood what they were hearing because the way he did and taught in parables and stuff, he used things, the Father used things through Jesus to communicate things that they completely understood. When he said he sent the midst of wolves, they knew what wolves were all about. I mean, wolves were a little more important back then than maybe they are now because you actually die out there, I guess. You know, so I just thought that was interesting. As I looked that up, I said, man, that's just really something there. So let's read on here. He says, carry no money, no belt, no bag, no shoes, and greet no one on the way. Carry no money. The emphasis in this scripture to me is a detachment from material possessions. Single-minded commitment to the task at hand. That is, he's telling them, he's giving them specifics. And so the mission that these guys are on was all designed out of heaven. It all came from the Father through Jesus, through the Son of God, to these 70. And it was so specific in nature because it had to be put together from heaven to get heavenly results. You see, that's where your ministries will get results when the mission comes directly from heaven, not from an idea, not from a harebrained idea, not from something that you do because you feel compelled to do it, but you're led of the Holy Spirit. It says, whatever house you enter, say first peace to that house. This is key. The emphasis in this part is the importance of offering a blessing of peace. So when these guys are going to ministry, they said, when you come to the house, offer a blessing. Bring something to them. Bring something from heaven, okay? And bring them my peace beyond understanding. He was bringing them something that couldn't be bought with money. It couldn't be manufactured by some kind of money or whatever. It only could come from heaven. To bring peace into a house, and you know this to be true, is supernatural. And I mean the peace of God, not the peace of man. The peace of God's eternal, and it can bring rest to people's souls. And what goes going on in our country right now is a shaking internally within people. The God is shaking things up. And people in their minds, they're not walking in peace, the peace of God. They have the peace of the world that's finite. Well, you know, if I've got everything, you got enough money, or if I have this or I have that, you know, then I've got peace, you know. I mean, people are seeking peace and trying to get peace in all kinds of ways. The amount of the people that are depressed in this country are through the roof, man. I'm talking about Christians. And they have the ability within them to combat it. But they have to get into the mission to understand it. Because they're out of position when you have things, events in this world that are around you that dictate to you and minister to you and take and steal from you your peace of God. You're out of position. You have to get back in the position, which is in that narrow way with what you're called to be and that relationship with the Holy Spirit. It is impossible to be depressed in the presence of God. It's impossible to be sick in the presence of God. I mean, when God is, you're in the presence of God and you practice that presence and you stay in that presence, you get the benefits of that presence. It's not something that happens overnight, saints, but I'll tell you this, it happens. It's obtainable. Jesus didn't come and die on the cross that we might not possess all of it. He wants us to possess it. The Apostle Paul understood it, and he said, this is light affliction. Beat me again. That tickled. I mean, I don't know how he did it. I haven't been beaten. I don't want to be beaten. Get me wrong. I don't want to be beaten. Okay, but I'm just saying that he got to that place. And how did he get to that place? Through relationship. I said, this is nothing. It's better for me to be with you than to go home, but I'd rather go home. He wanted to go home. He was ready to go home, but he had to complete his mission. In fact, in the book of Acts, you see that he knew he was supposed to go up into Spain. He had that assignment. It's like Jesus laid out the assignment, the Father laid out the assignment for Jesus. He laid out that assignment for Paul. He knew where he was to go. He knew what he was to do. He had the specifics. He had specifics. God wants to give you and me specifics. It's His will. Hear me. Hear me. God wants to give you specifics. He wants you to know the plan for your life, for your mission. He wants to give that to you. So just know this. That is His will. And when you come to understand that is His will, you're now in position to receive it. And now you have to enter into His presence. Because you have that omnipresence of God. I say all the time, He's everywhere. But then the manifest presence. The manifest presence is God. You can have it every day. I'm just like you. I want to see Him. I talk to Him about it a lot. Just being honest. Hey, I want to see you. I just want to see you. Will he appear to me? I can't lie to you. I expect it. Do I know when? No. I could be coming out of the shower. I could be flipping hamburgers. I don't know. It's that kind of a thing. I just don't know. Sometimes I get that thought, like, I know you're here, so what's next? You know? Some people might think I'm crazy. That's okay. I don't care what you think anyway. It's a small thing to me to be judged by you. But I'll tell you what, you know, I want that. I want it. And you know, it's not something that you want it too. I'm talking to the right crowd. You want that. It's okay to want. There's nothing wrong with wanting to see Jesus. It says that when we see Him, when He does come, we will be like Him.
So whenever you're in a house, say peace, bring the blessing. If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. But if it's not there, it will return to you. Again, there's the specifics. And everything that Jesus is saying, it's like the Father's talking through Jesus. Because Jesus only what? He only spoke the words of the Father. That's why he had the anointing without measure. That's what the scripture tells us. It said, boundless is the anointing upon the one that only speaks the words of the Father. Stay in that house, eating and drinking what they give you, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. So what are your wages? The wages for them was eating and drinking what they give you. Do not keep moving from house to house. Now, there's two different interpretations of this. So I have to say, one was, you read some of these commentaries. Sometimes I think the Bible needs the commentary on the commentaries. But some people think, well, Jesus was saying, hey, stay in the house which you're at. Don't keep moving until you find one that you like better. They take care of you better here than over here. I'm not so sure that that's what he meant there. I kind of have a feeling that Jesus said, go to cities. Don't keep moving because it might hit a house. Boy, they're taking good of me here. I think I'll just hang out here for the next year. But either way, there's a principle in the spirit. The move of God to me moves. It doesn't just stay. And you know, I've often wondered when people have these churches and stuff, have they communicated to the people that live within a 5-mile perimeter of their church? Have they actually researched every house just within 5 miles? Do they even care? Is that even important? Okay, I'm done with that. Whenever city you enter, if they receive you, eat what is set before you and heal those who are in it who are sick and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. So he gave them specifics and heal those who are in it. Now, what's amazing to me is that these 70 that he sent out, you got a guy here, Jesus, and maybe they didn't have the same revelation that Peter had. And he's telling them, hey, when you go to the city, I'm about to come, I want you to heal the sick in it. And like you're sitting there like, who is this guy that sits there and says that I can go over heal here and pray for people and they'll be healed? I mean, the power of God that was on Jesus is just unbelievable. The fact that when he communicated that people just like, they just did what he said. Not everybody, but apparently these did. Now you read on here and he talks about, but whenever you enter a city and they do not receive you, go out into the streets and say. So he's always specific. Hey, if they don't receive you, go out in the streets and say this. So I'm sure that there were some that did that. I mean, you know, the detail that God wants to get into you and my life on our missions is just like this. And the reason why I'm pointing this out is I really believe in my heart of hearts that the body of Christ in the earth is actually unified. It's unified because those that hear his voice and obey him will respond. Now, what could God say from heaven with this great army that he has salted all over this earth in one day? How far could God anoint his army? What could he do? Do you see the potential here? If he wants the world to know, and it's his will, that everyone would be saved, that no one would perish, he makes that clear in the scriptures. He talks about that it's possible to hasten his coming. So I would submit to you that I truly believe in my heart of hearts that the great general, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, is going to make it real evident to this earth that he is going to return. He even talks about the sign of the Son of Man. He is going to make his message heard everywhere. The gospel of the kingdom is going to be preached to the ends of the earth. And those that hear and obey his voice will do exactly what he tells them to do and when to do it. I mean, it's just the possibilities of evangelizing the whole entire earth to everyone to hear the gospel has really been amplified in this day of technology. I mean, you see, I do these little things, the little word of the week type thing. That's to encourage you to do word of the week. Do you have people that you're in contact with? Just do the word of the week.
You know, I've had maybe two times I've had to do a double take. It usually happens within the first 30 seconds. But every other time, it's just like he drops it in, I just say it. I just do it. Because he's doing it through me. And there's somebody that needs to hear it out there, always get some feedback or whatever, thank you so much or whatever. It wasn't from me. But you need to be doing a word of the week. You need to start reaching out to your congregation, the people that you know. Because you're learning something. See, the thing is that the church is no longer going to be bottled up. God's fed up with that stuff. And he's pushing his children to get out. And that's why there's so many unsatisfied people that are going from place to place trying to find a place. Because there is no place. Because they're all backwards. Well, not all of them, but most of them. They just don't get it. The ministry is not around a man. It's not around the fivefold. It's around Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. It is his church. He is the one that's directing it. And he's doing it through revelation. We're used in it. And we love him, but I'm not any more important than you are. In fact, I'm supposed to think you're more highly of you than I do of myself. And that's not hard for me to do at all. It just isn't. Because you spend 10 minutes in the presence of God, and you know right then and there, humble thyself in thy sight of the Lord. I mean, that's just the way it is. And by doing that and getting to that place where that's not just something that you say because you know it's right to say, it's part of you. Now you have the ability to be able to speak in the potential of someone's life because you can love them. It just takes down all the shields. And you're able to speak into somebody's life because you really truly love them because he's shining through you. And his love is so piercing. It's so deep. It's so down inside to people. He just wants to bless. He really does. And you get that when you get in his presence. It's just there's no other way to leave the presence of God and not love his creation. The people that he died for on the cross. His bounty. Everyone. So he goes out, he says, go out and cry out. He says, I say to you, but more tolerable in the day for Sodom than for that city. He says, woe to you, Chorazin, and woe to you, Bethesda, excuse me, got tongue tied. For if the miracles had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, which occurred in you, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. Talking about the power of God if they had witnessed it. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will not be exalted to heaven, will you? You'll be brought down to Hades. The one who listens to you listens to me, and the one who rejects you rejects me. And he who rejects me rejects the one who sent me. This is the Father speaking through Jesus. So when you understand, and you do, many do, when you understand how the voice of God comes through you, and you see when Jesus in many different signs, like almost like, he's saying this, and now he's saying that. You can always hear the Father to me in this. He's always, you know, the Father is a jealous, he have no God before him. And so when they're rejecting Jesus, they're rejecting his Son. I mean, just think of that. If you put forth your son or your daughter, or your loved one, and sacrificed for the world, and someone rejected, how would you feel about that on a human level? Not very good. But we're talking about a perfect, holy God. And so you can hear that, the voice of the Father through that. Then verse 17, and the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. You know, Jesus didn't say anything about casting demons out, did he? That wasn't part of the instructions out there, but he comes back, they come back and they're saying, man, not just healing, but man, there were demons coming out of people. And then Jesus said, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Now a lot of people read that and say, you know, he was watching Satan getting kicked out of heaven, and I'm not disagreeing with that, but I would submit to you, I
I think it also applies to the fact that when these guys were preaching the kingdom of God, that Satan was dislodged. His authority, it was, you know, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in the pulling down of strongholds. And see, when you become that vessel where you're spending time with the Holy Spirit and you are engaged, your weapons that you have at your disposal, being directed by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and led by the Holy Spirit, are not carnal, but they're mighty of pulling down the strongholds. And Paul knew this. He taught it. He did it. Not to demonstrate it and say, okay, well, I read this and that. No, it's for us. But there's a process in that. It's about being part of that mission. They were in the mission. They had the authority because they're in the mission and the ability to pull down the strongholds that Satan had over those cities and the miracles that went forth and the demonstration of God's love in that place went forth. That is to come through you and through me. And some of you already have experienced this, but God wants to bring it to another level. And I really want to encourage you, saints. It doesn't matter who you are. It's who He is. You could be just sitting in your chair and just all of a sudden you just get some kind of a thought in your head. I want you to pray for this, or pray for the president, or pray for such and such a place. They're having an earthquake right now. There are people there that are, whatever it might be. But I want to open you up to the possibilities of how God wants to move through this body in these last days. He said that greater things would be done than He did. Yes. That blows my mind. I haven't walked on water. I was a diving coach and I went to world championships and went to the Olympics and the water was there. And believe me, I thought about it. I could give a good message right now. I mean, the TV's there. I mean, the whole nation's watching. The world's watching right now. God, you know, if you want me to go out there, I mean, I'll go out there right now. I'll do it. But I got to hear, you know. And so I'd sometimes go to a different place where nobody was kind of looking or whatever because it's great man of faith, you know. And just, you know, you may think I'm crazy, but I'll tell you something, Faints. You know, I'm sitting over here in Wuhan right before the outbreak in China. Why has God had me in Wuhan? I still am blown away by that. I mean, why was I there? And why was I was praying for the country? I was being obedient. I was praying in tongues. I know my tongues turned into warfare. I know that much. But He was trying to reveal it to me there, and I didn't get it till I left of what He really was showing me. But I learned from that. So maybe next time I could hear the details, or maybe is it even possible to pull down a stronghold before it got out? You see what I'm saying? I'm just throwing this out, saints, because I am not nobody. And we God can really use us in ways, and you need to open yourselves up to these possibilities, you know, because God is everywhere and He wants to use His body right now, and there are people that are crying out. How many times did Jesus do miracles and He didn't want anybody to know about it? You know, I mean, it's just there's so many things. You may be in a situation like that, and it's not that everybody needs to know that God did. What matters is the mission, and God wants to use the body of Christ right now. They really, I mean, I'm just telling you. I just know that in my heart of hearts, and you are called, and you are anointed, and you are blessed. And there's a love inside you that's being birthed right now. You aren't going to leave here the same. This is anointing here tonight is going deep and penetrating. Because when you walk out that door, the biggest thing you're going to recognize is this ability to love is going to grow inside of you.
Because I didn't know how to love. I don't claim to know these things, because when I see how Jesus dealt with humanity, I want to have what he had. And so if he's inside of me, he wants to manifest that through me. And so I get those opportunities. We get those opportunities. And when they come up, when we allow it to come out of us, we learn in that experience and we see the love and the power of our mighty God that can change people. And that brings a fulfillment. And let me tell you, saints, the biggest fulfillment I think I've experienced, the fact that it's the way I can express my love back. If I can bear fruit, it glorifies him. And to me, it's like buying chocolate for my wife. You know, it just is like that. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the opportunity to say I love you. And that's really when you feel this in your spirit. This is something that the Holy Spirit universally is teaching all of us right now. So Jesus goes on here. He says he saw, he was watching. But then verse 19 says, "Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you." And that word authority in the Greek is exousia, and it says it signifies not just power, but the right and power to act. Jurisdiction. You have authority and power in the mission. You can declare a thing. And declaring something is something that comes, that it's established. You have the Declaration of Independence, you know, and there's law through the land and these types of things. And so there's a declaration that comes from the Spirit that declares such a thing. And when God speaks, you know, he acts. And that's where you know, when he said, "Woman, thou art loosed for thy infirmity," or "come out in the name of Jesus," or "keep quiet." The things that Jesus did and said and how the apostles acted and did, it was all in the confines of their mission. The church needs to hear that and understand that, because we've been fed such a bunch of stuff that we've tried to implement, but didn't understand the implementation is always in the mission. That's where it's at. So there's no other place to be except in the mission. And you know, it's in the mission. I have a mission at home just as much as I have a mission here and a mission somewhere else. And I can't afford to mess up the mission anywhere, amen? But God teaches me a lot in the house. I mean, that's where it's at. Amen. That's where you die. Somebody said, you're having a problem. I said, you just can't have to die. And I said, well, I've died 1,000 deaths. I go, well, it's 1,001. It's okay. But you know what? God wants to be in everything of your life and my life. We want to totally invest in him. Amen. God is so good. Nathaniel, you know, I don't know if you know this or not, but you are the gift of an evangelist inside of you. God has called you. This is a young man. You had dreams as a young man. God spoke to you as a young man. And now you're seeing it begin to open up. God's going to be to open up doors to you. There's a refinement. You're going through fire, but the fire is not to destroy you. The fire is only to refine you. For he is like refiner's fire and like full of soap, and he is cleaning you up, and he's bringing some things to the light. And some things, it's like there's a disappointment. It's like something's in front, and then disappointment. Dump in front, and then disappointment, and disappointment. But the Lord never disappoints. And now God has taken your eyesight off of the things that should not disappoint and bring them on side of him, so that you see him who never disappoints. Amen? Because it doesn't matter what the world throws at you. What matters is what he does through you and your relationship with him. And there's a refinement and there's an anointing that you're going to leave from this place tonight, and you'll be very much aware of it, okay? People are going to start to come to you. They're going to be drawn to the light that literally is going to manifest on you. You are going to have a manifestation of light. God's going to illuminate you. People will see it on you and be drawn to you, and you're going to recognize it. And it's going to be an opportunity for a discussion. It's going to be an opportunity. And God's going to restore. I don't know if you have a brother or not, but I see a brother come into the kingdom of God because of your obedience. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm just a delivery boy. Praise the Lord. God is so good.
Amen. You know, Jesus was made a curse. He took curses. And these curses in that generation are broken off of you now in the name of Jesus Christ. They will not hold you. Amen. They will not hold you back. You know, if something is irritating to me, or if there is a noise in the other room that's irritating me, I just shut the door. Amen. And I have to listen to it. But that's all it is. The enemy will come at you, and all he will be is noise now. And you're just going to shut the door and say, you know what? It's not, you have nothing on me. You have nothing on me in the name of Jesus Christ. The anointing of God is going to flow through you, little brother, like a river. You already have a hunger for the word of God, but this hunger is going to be insatiable. You will not be able to get enough. And the preaching that is going to come through you, brother, is going to be pure, fresh, clean water. So a purity inside of you. You might say, oh, man, I'm so far from purity. I'm going to have to get washed. But see, when he washes your feet, brother, you're clean. Amen? Amen. And Isaiah, when he came into the presence of God, you know, he was in the presence of God. He said, man, I'm undone. I'm ruined, you know. But what did God do? He took that coal and he put it right on his lips. And that's where the Lord is really doing a work inside of you. It's got that coal, that purification is right on your lips. In the Spirit, he's putting his words in your mouth. Praise God. God is so good. In the name of Jesus Christ, no spiritual donkey will be able to hold you back from your destiny anymore in Jesus' name. It's okay. When God tells you to preach, preach. Doesn't matter where it is. You just say it. Amen. And you're going to see him come, the kingdom of God. Amen, God. There's a boldness inside of you. You don't care. That's it. I don't know what it is. Something's just snapping inside of you where you just don't care anymore. You're going to realize that there's no... I don't care where I'm at. That's just, you know, God saying, God, I got to go. And people are going to receive from you, brother, because of the purity that God is going to do inside of you. Amen. God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. God is so good. Amen. I hear the word of wisdom in you, brother. The word of wisdom is flowing out of you like a river, man. Giving advice, good advice. God's giving you a directing ministry where you're going to direct people over and over and over again. This is the God, they're going to come to you, and I just see the word of the Lord just coming right out and giving them good direction. But see, the thing about it, the reason why they're going to receive it, they're going to realize that the direction that you're sending them in is going to be motivated, and it's going to, the foundation is out of love because you didn't have it. That's a healing. That's a healing power of God going in you, brother, right now. He wants to heal you of that wound. Amen. Amen. So as in the word, humble thyself in the sight of the Lord, and he will exalt thee in due time. And what you didn't realize is that there's a humility that God has been performing inside you over a period of years. You thought it was weakness, but it's actually humility. You didn't even speak up when you could have. You just kind of held back. But God says, now I'm going to come through you like I'm roaring like a lion. And even people will be amazed at the conversion and the change, even within your personality. And you too are going to be amazed. And God says, I'm going to heal your body. I'm going to quicken your mortal flesh. And you're going to realize the oil of God, like the synovial fluid even in your body, is going to increase. And that doesn't happen. And it's going to happen. That's a creative miracle God's doing inside of you, brother. And you are going to be amazed. I just say, God, you're filling me with oil. Amen. God is so good. Amen. The song in your heart, brother, is going to just be absolutely outstanding. Brother, you are so anointed. God is so good. Amen. Are you related? Yeah, I thought so. I just want to make sure I've made the mistake before. Amen. God is so good. Did you witness what I said to him? You don't have to say if it's not true. It's okay. Amen. God is so good. Praise God. Amen. You know, there's the undergirding ministry that you've got, you know, even to your husband, how you undergird him, you know, and how you bring strength, you know, and words of encouragement. But there's a hope inside you. There's something that you're hoping for. There's a real hope It's just like bubbling inside you, and it's many different avenues and dimensions and over people and situations. There's kind of a hope, and it's like the enemy's just trying to push, kind of keep you down, you know. But you hope and you kind of hang in there. But man, I tell you what, God wants to put in your hand a weapon, man. And I know you're not aggressive, I know you're not loud, you know, but you're gonna be loud and you're gonna be aggressive. Because something's just going to get inside of you where you just say, you know what, I have had enough of this and I'm not putting up anymore. And you just start swinging and you don't care what you hit. You're just going to keep swinging until you hit something. And I just want to encourage you. That's that warrior spirit that God has been developing inside you over a period of time. It's almost like it's been shielded, but God's going to let it out. Because God's going to show you that you too have an authority in the spirit. Amen. God hears your prayers. You've seen him answer your prayers, but it's the tough ones. It's the tough case. And God's going to make you revisit the very things that are tough. And you're going to come back and you're going to re-engage in your prayer closet. But it's going to be different because you're going to realize that when you say it, it's going to happen. It's like the seed. It's working underground the whole time. You don't know how, but it's going to happen. And you're going to see salvation come. Even to areas of your family, you're going to be going to believe how God is going to do work. Because God is for you, he is behind you, and he can rescue, and his arm is not too short. Amen? God is so good. Praise Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. God is so good. Amen. Amen. God, you're so strong back there. Yeah, I'm just looking at the guns there. Amen. The reason being is because I used to recruit. I know when somebody's in shape and not in shape, and you're in shape. Amen. So God is so good. But you are not only are you in shape physically, but you are getting in shape spiritually. God is doing a work inside of you. And I just see a real seriousness that's kind of gripping you. Amen. Where you kind of realize, you know, I got to get serious about this thing. You know, I can't, it's almost like God shows somebody something. And there's this movie, this documentary called The Daniel Project. Somebody may have seen it. In this particular thing, you might want to even look at it. It's called The Daniel Project. This guy is the commentator. He's the guy that kind of tells the story, and they hand him this outline. He's not a believer. And the whole thing is about how Israel and all the prophecies that were prophesied thousands of years ago had come to pass and how specific they are. And in the beginning, you see this guy sharing, but at the end of the thing, he's like, he's sitting there scratching his head. He goes, this isn't a coincidence. I'm going to have to really think about this, you know. You could tell it just kind of hit him, you know, that he knew it. And there's something that God has done in your life where it's brought you to this place where there's a seriousness that is really gripping you and really finding out your destiny. And God's going to bring some restoration around you because some things have been taken from you. Amen? There's going to be some restoration. But I just really believe that your calling is going to come really solidified in this next year as you dig and as you seek. As you see how God is going to answer some of the stuff that's been taken, see it restored. You know, that was his hand. He did it. I prayed. I saw he did it. I know how he's going to do it. I screwed up, but he's working it out somehow. Somehow. I mean, you know, I'll never forget. There was a guy, and some of you would know him if I put him out. There was a guy here that he came, and he said, I had a word for his wife. His wife was leaving him. She was gone. And she happened to show up to a Mo meeting, and I had a word for her. And he came to my house because I asked him to do some work. He came and said, I don't know who that person is. She completely did a 360. She was going the other way. And now within 2 days, she's talking about buying a house and, you know, having more kids. He couldn't understand how that could get his mind around that. You know what I'm saying? But you're going to see some changes in people around you that you're not going to be able to get your mind around because you're going to know it's the Lord. So I just want to encourage you in that in Jesus' name. It's just going to motivate you. Motivate you that you are on the right direction. The seriousness of scripture is the real thing. And you will not, Jesus said, when you put your hand to plow, don't look back. Because that's your destiny. That is your career. Amen? And God will add these other things to you. But head out. Get your hand to plow. God's going to bless that in Jesus' name. God's so good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I praise Jesus. God's so good. Amen. Amen. He's been encouraging me all night long. I've been sitting over here, just sitting there and just... It's like I've just been feeling like you're just a sponge over there, you know, where you just, God just, I just see the strength of God just really strengthening you. You need some strength. You really need some strength. And the power of God is going to come inside of you and strengthen you. It's not going to be me or anybody else. It's going to be the power of the Lord Jesus Christ coming to you one-on-one, mano a mano, and just quickening you. Where you just, you have the strength now. It's like you've been walking 15 miles and you just, you're about giving out, man. And you hang in there because you know God is real and you believe in everything. But man, there's just, you get to a point where just, it's like Elijah, you know? He sits there and whacks out, you know, all those prophets of Baal, kills them all, and then he's like, and now he wants to die. You know, I'm not saying you want to die. Don't get me wrong here. I'm just saying that there's a strength that comes at these journeys that we go through where we just don't have the strength. And God says, I'm going to give you more strength and more power, not just to endure, but to overcome. Because the way you're seeing it is not the way he sees it. So the perception is going to change within you. There's an exhortation, but it's a training word where God is going to allow you to perceive your situations, how he views them, and it's going to revolutionize the way you approach it. And it's going to give you understanding. And once you have that understanding, brother, that peace is going to come like a river. And you're going to say, now I get it. Yes, God did lead the Israelites to the waters of Marah. He led them to the putrid waters that he might test them. And God will lead us to those putrid waters, but he will make them fresh. Those that prayed and those that complained and the ones that prayed got the revelation. And you have laid something out before the Lord, and he's going to give you a revelation of who he is, and he's going to make your waters fresh. Praise you, Jesus. God is so good. Lord, just lift up. I lift my brother up, Lord God. I just release everything that you have for him, Lord God, in this place by your anointing and by your power. Just release it upon my brother in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. That's so good. I keep getting drawn over here. Amen. God is so good. I know it's somebody in the back row. I just don't know who it is yet. You look familiar to me. Have I ministered to you before? You look familiar. Amen. God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. Did I hit it?
Yeah.
No, he must have done it through me. Amen. You said amen. I just, you know, it's like a plan. It's like a part B. You got a part A and a part B, you know. And, you know, you got the word of the Lord that comes to us. And then you have the word of wisdom that gives us the practical application of the word of the Lord. And the word of wisdom is going to start to function in your ministry, which gives you the practical application of the word of the Lord. And so when the word of the Lord comes to you and says, go in your backyard and rake the leaves, the word of wisdom will tell you how to rake them and what piles to make. It's very specific in nature. And the reason why you need specifics is because what God has for you in your job and what you do and where you're heading is requires the word of wisdom. You know, he gifts us in the places that we are. It's like in my job, when I was coaching athletes, I would sit there and I would hear the Lord says, okay, take him into this dive. And I go, okay. And then he would show me the progressions. And he would show me how to manipulate them. Because in my sport, you know, no, you've got to sometimes be this far away from a diving board. And it's not natural for a person's head to be spinning this far away from something that could clock them. You know what I mean? And so the Lord would show me how to position them. Now, no one in the world, no diving coach in the world, when doing an inward, would tell them to do this. But the Lord said, tell them to arch. I go, that can't be you. No, that's not you. It can't be you. Tell them to arch. I go, okay. So I say, okay, I want you to arch back. And then, of course, the person looking like, are you crazy? This is not going to make me close. This is going to make me go that way. Because, you know, they're on something that's like this. And they're trying to get close, and so they're like this. And so God says, tell them like that. And now when they go like this, what are they going to do? They're going to fall off. But see, what I didn't know is what God knew. And so this person, as I explained to them to arch, they decide to go up, and they go like this. They move right into the position they needed to be the exact distance. And they couldn't figure out how they got there. They couldn't figure out how to go out. Because they were afraid of the board. That's why they were out. Nobody could get them over the board. I couldn't.
But Jesus could. He gave me the wisdom, the word of the practical application to manipulate them, to get them where they needed to be. And so the word of the Lord is going to come to you. It's going to give you direction. And then the word of wisdom is going to give you specifics of how to apply it to individuals, to your job, to everything that is around you. And you're going to just flow in it, sister. I mean, it is just going to be just, and you're going to come and just say, man, this is blowing my mind. Because see, I didn't have the experience. I didn't have the knowledge of some of these other coaches had in this country or around the world. I didn't have those types of coaches. The coach I had was Jesus. And I had to rely on him. And he brought success. He did it. But the only way it occurred is by through the word of wisdom. The practical application of the word of the Lord is going to come to you. Amen. God is so good. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Anybody else have anything?
It's your young lady.
What? It's on.
Test one.
Is it on?
Test.
Again.
The two young ladies in the back row. When the second one arrived, the first one gave a big hug. I saw him when he walked in the room. The Lord just spoke to me at that moment, and he said, "Behold, I love you enough." There's a testimony of what God intended the church to be, not how you two love one another, and what your testimony is supposed to be. And I grew up dealing with boys as kids, I get it. Every woman in the room can relate that when a man looks at your outward appearance and you roll your eyes, you know, because that's all the guy is seeing. But the word said, I see your heart. My word says, man looks at outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And the Lord is saying to the two of you at this time that I see your heart and I love your heart. And I love how you are hungering and thirsting for righteousness. And when the scripture talks about righteousness, it talks about being in right relationship with God. And both of you have been going after being in right relationship with the Father. And the Lord says, I see your heart. And the man may overlook you. The man may look at you, and all they see is the outside. God says, the most beautiful thing I've seen is your heart, says the Lord. And my brother next to Nathaniel here, may I give you a word?
Sure.
Nathaniel's here and Thomas is here. There's been a lot of times in life that you've been doubting God's. And you just said, that's not for me. This goes on in the church, in the body of Christ. And you said, yeah, that's not for me. And then you've been right. But the Lord said, I'm giving you a new address. I'm thrusting you out in the season that comes and taking you out of your comfort zone. Because my word says, the gifts and callings of God will never be revoked, and a man's gift will make room for him. And the Lord says, I have need of you. I have need of you. I have need of the gifts that I have placed within you. I have need of your calling. And there are those in the body of Christ right now that are not going to be ministered to unless you respond to the call of God upon your life. So get ready to get uncomfortable. Because God says, I'm going to push you out of your comfort zone. I'm going to thrust you forward. And I'm going to begin to use you and use your gifts and use your calling on one condition, that you respond to the call.
Amen. Amen.
Can I add something to what you said?
Yep. Amen.
But not prophecy.
No. That's it's open floor. You can sing too if you like.
When he was teaching, when he was talking about intimacy and being close to God, you know the scripture verse that says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another, right? But the actual reality of what it really says, it says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens the countenance of another.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about that as you were talking, because when I'm with God, my face changes. When I'm spending that intimate time with Him, when I am there, I gotta be there. Everything about me changes. He sharpens me, but my face becomes so radiant, everyone wants that. It's like, it's an incredible thing that happens. I mean, it's what happened to Moses. You know, it's interesting also when he was talking about the bitter waters. I wonder if when they got to, what was the next place? It was
Elium.
Elium. I wonder if when they got there, everybody was like, oh, maybe we better throw the same thing. We better do the same thing Moses did back there. Because that's typically what we do as a church. But see, Moses had learned how to talk to God, hear God, and do exactly what God said would work. And so that being really, really close is so super important. But the other thing I wanted to share, and I'm going to read it as a story so I don't go overboard. I met a man in Haiti one day, and then my friend Peter, that Todd's going to go see, went with me a couple years later, or maybe a year later, to go see him. And let me just read you the story, because it became a challenge for us as the church, I would say, that our responsibility and who we are, as we come in contact with all kinds of ministries and all kinds of different places, we got to understand our position, who we are. It's really, really important. So here's the story. I'm just going to read it to you. Where did it go? So it was late November, early December 2007. I had been to Haiti since, I'd been going to Haiti since September 2. I had not been to Haiti since 2002. Through a series of unexpected events, I found myself at Walt's guest house in Port-au-Prince, 10 days earlier than planned. 4 days earlier, in this guest house, on my way to Cap-Haïtien in the north of Haiti, I had talked with Mark, a Frenchman working with an NGO in Haiti. Now, as I waited for Jude to get a vehicle so we could drive to Jacmel, Mark approached me. "I want to tell you a story," he said. He went on, "I was in Afghanistan a few years ago. I was in the mountains. One day I observed the villagers from a village on the other side of the mountain range trying to bring a dying little old lady on a stretcher from their village to the hospital in our village. There was no road and only a narrow path along the side of the river gorge. He called it a canyon along the river. The lady was dying as the men struggled to carry her on the narrow path. I was overwhelmed with concern," Mark said, "and knew something must be done." Mark continued, "I asked God what to do, and he instructed me on how to build a road through the canyon." Side note, Mark believed in Buddhism, Hinduism, Catholicism, the God of the universe. Mark continued, "The NGO I worked with had enough money for me to pay 500 men for 21 days. It divided the men up into groups of 100 with 25 leaders. Each group would work on one section of road. We built large rectangular cages from wire and rebar, which we then filled with broken rock. When we ran out of dynamite explosives, we sent men to buy missiles from the Taliban that you Americans have left everywhere. We cut the missiles apart and used the explosives to create additional crushed stone to cut the roadway through the canyon. Each team worked to create a huge step of steel, rebar, and crushed stone. At the end of each day, the men would go to a platform they had built at the upper end of the road to pray to Allah. No one knew if we would finish the road in the 21 days, but on that last day, I knew it was complete. I walked up the new road telling each group of men, 'You are done. We have completed the project.' I then, feeling much like Moses, with hands up, stood on that platform and began to clap. The men began to cheer and laugh, and everyone was very excited that we had completed the project. The road was done. We had completed the impossibility." And that was the end of the story, or so I thought. Mark got up and left and went off to the south of Haiti, and I went off to the south of Haiti. It was in the south of Haiti in Jacmel that the vision for a project that I that's birthed now. But that is another story for another time. I returned to the guest house a week later, excited and ready to move forward with his vision. Mark followed me to my room. He pulled from his pocket a ring, a large silver ring with a dark blue stone with flecks of gold in it. He thrust it forward into my hand and said, "You must never forget the story of the canyon." I pondered his statement as I wondered what God was trying to tell me. Several months later, I was again at the guest house with my friend Peter from South Africa. Peter asked Mark if the blue stone in the ring was the lapis lazuli, to which Mark replied it was. But how did Peter know? Peter's response to Mark was, "Mark, the throne where the glory of God is talked of in the book of Exodus and the book of Ezekiel." And Peter went on to explain the chapters to Mark. This is what it says. "And Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel went out and saw the God of Israel. Under his feet was something like a pavement made of lapis lazuli, as bright as blue as the sky. But God did not raise his hand against these leaders of the Israelites. They saw God, and they ate and drank. The Lord said to Moses, 'Come up to me on the mountain, stay here, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the stone and the law and the commandments I have written in Ezekiel.' Then there came a voice from above the vault over their heads as they stood with lowered wings. Above the vault over their heads was what looked like a throne of lapis lazuli, and high above on the throne was a figure like that of a man. I saw that from what appeared to be his waist up he looked like glowing metal as if full of fire, and that from there down he looked like fire, and brilliant light surrounded him." You know the story. So why this story? What does it mean? It is time, it is long past time for every believer, for every one of us to invest themselves to participate in building the road that will provide a way for those that struggle. The reality is that that was the throne room. The back of the throne, covered in this blue stone, blue. It's kind of blue, that blue right there. It's got little gold flecks, and they used to grind it and make the royal robes for the kings. And it's a really precious thing, but it's even more precious that, you see, it was teams, and each team did not know what they were doing. And I believe that at the right time, you and I, and Todd and whatever, we will have finished a road, and the Lord Jesus will be standing on the platform, and he'll be cheering and clapping and yelling, "Guys, you did it. You did it. You got it. You got the job done." Maybe you don't know what Jimmy Jones is doing. I was with Jimmy today. Maybe you don't know what Jimmy's doing. Maybe you don't know what this is doing. Maybe you don't. It doesn't matter. You have such, like he said, you have such a specific place created in his image, you and I. So much like God, created in his image. When we step over to glory, we're in his image. We look like him. We do. It's going to be unbelievable. We have a job, and just do it. Just take your portion of the road and do it.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right? Amen. 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 Thank you. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. Well, it's been good to be in the presence of God tonight. Some of you I know need some ministry. I want you just to hang out, and I'm going to dismiss everybody, but feel free to come on up. I do have more words than me for people tonight, so if you feel that might be you, just come up and get in line. And I'm heading out to South Africa next Thursday, so I won't see you next Thursday for 12 days. So I'm heading to Durban and in the surrounding area. And we in some churches. We're going to be in a prison. I think they got me in a prison too. But I just never really know till I get there. They got some other unknowns. But it's an opportunity to be. Some of these churches are very large. There's some other new churches that were just built. Last time I was there, we prayed, and I guess this church got built, and it's been pretty amazing. But I saw God just do some wonderful things there. But more importantly, it's just that a lot of the pastors and leaders I'm getting access to in this particular trip, so I'm excited about that. Some of these guys, honestly, I've been able to if I had something from the Lord or and some of the things I've shared here, they actually implement them, you know, which was amazing to me, you know, because sometimes you bring something to from the Lord for people to implement, and especially pastors or churches, and they, you know, blow you off or don't do it, or, you know, thanks, good word, and see you later. These guys are actually doing it, and it's amazing. And I know I've shared this here before, but this one particular place I went to last year, and it's grown, is they called it The Gathering, and just like this place, and it's amazing, and they're doing the exact same thing. It's exactly the same thing. All the giftings are there, and they're implementing and planning home meetings and things like that, so that's kind of exciting to see God duplicating something somewhere else. But I'm really encouraged. If you think about me, lift me up. I really and covet your prayers, that's for sure. Amen? All right. Well, Lord, we just thank you for what you've done here tonight, Lord. I just ask you to continue to bless us, Lord, concerning your words that you've said here tonight, Lord. If there's anything said here tonight, Lord, that is not of you, Lord, you'd strike that from the record, but God, that is from you. Let it go down as a deep seed and go deeply into our hearts, Lord God, that we might allow you to come and water it and allow it to grow as you bring the increase. Lord, we love you and we bless you and we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. What was that? Oh, yeah, yeah. Is that this weekend where they're going to be at the Rock, or was that last weekend? Yeah, they were, I think it was tonight. You're right. Yeah. Yeah. All right.
For your trip.
Okay. Give it to me.
I heard the Lord say that he wanted you to be deliberate about covering yourself in the armor, and also deliberate about hearing Holy Spirit's fresh word every second of every day, because he said you were going to encounter a hunger this time that we've been promised. We're going to see the people hungering and pulling at us to the point that it would exhaust you. And the Holy Spirit said that if you will hear him, he will give you a corporate word that you could announce that he would then take and make intimate and deliver whatever it is that they need, whether it be deliverance, a word of knowledge, whatever. But he is going to use you, this faith journey that you've been on recently with the things, circumstances in your life. He's going to use that to speak to you in a different way so that you can minister in a different way, because there are going to be so many more people coming and so much more hunger that you can't do it the way you've ministered in the past. You've got to hear the fresh Holy Spirit word and give that. And you're going to come back and teach us how to do this, how to listen to him and hear this word. And then you're going to encounter this in South Africa.
Praise God. I receive that. I receive that.
No.